Welcome to the podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together the message and a taste of the music that we experience each Sunday morning as we root our lives in grace through worship here at The Table. More and more people are finding their way to The Table through this podcast, so if you are one of the many, many folks who tune in each week from other parts of California, other parts of our country, or even from other places in the world, we would invite you to take a next step in growing in faith here at The Table. You can do that online at our website, thetableumc.org. There you'll find links to social media and also a way to make a deep commitment to our community to express how you hope to root your life in grace, to grow in faith, to reach in love, and to give generously. If you're one of the many people listening to this but haven't quite walked through the door of the sanctuary yet on a Sunday morning, we would love to welcome you into the beauty of this sanctuary. We gather each Sunday for worship at 9:30 and at 11. Our address is 5265 H Street in East Sacramento.
I hung my head for the last time in surrender and despair. Before I'm dead, I'll take the last climb up the mountain, face my fears. The time has come to make a choice, use my voice for the love of everyone.
I get to read to you the Easter story, and it comes to us this morning out of the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to read from the 28th chapter, the first 10 verses. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards stood and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
You know my words before they're said. You know my need and I am fed. You give me life. You know my ways, my strength, my path for all my days. My strength, my path for all my days. If I should fly beyond the dawn, the darkness will not overcome. If I lie down in deepest night, still you are there, my Lord, my light. Still you are there, my Lord, my light.
It's kind of hard for me to believe that we've, after opening with the music that we have, that on Friday we gathered in this space in a very, very, very different way. On Friday night, we gathered here, joining our voices together, crying out, my God, have you forsaken us? And we heard these words from Matthew 27. Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last, and the earth shook. Many of the women who followed Jesus were there on that night. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the men who followed Jesus, they were nowhere in sight. There was a rich man, a rich man who went to Pilate to receive the body of Jesus and then placed the linen on it and then made sure that they found a tomb that had never been used and had a huge stone rolled in front of it to make sure that the body would be okay. But those folks, those men who were trying to follow Jesus, they were nowhere at his death on the cross. Only the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, rise on that Sunday morning amidst the silence of death's aftermath. And perhaps the failure of the men to rise tells us something of their struggles to trust the words of hope that Jesus gave to them. Or maybe it's a rhetorical device to just give us space to wonder, where might we have story with the women rising early in the morning or with the men who are failing to do so. Maybe it's just a reminder of all the different ways we process grief and the way it takes some of us different time than others. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary rise after the Sabbath, though, and they make their way to the tomb where the body has been placed. And it's significant to me that they go together. See, the women never seem to be alone in the days between Holy Friday and Easter morning. They're together in a huge group on Friday. And then presumably they're together to remember the Sabbath. And then on that morning, they choose again not to go it alone, but to be in it together. It's a strong challenge for me to the way that contemporary Christianity so often collapses following Jesus into an individual relationship with Christ. But thankfully, our sacred scriptures remind us over and over and over that the way of Jesus, the way of the risen one, is found in and through community. In Mark and in Luke, the women go to the tomb with oils to anoint the body. But in Matthew's gospel, they don't go with nothing. And it makes me wonder if Matthew is trying to invite us into a deeper sense of anticipation or expectation about what might happen, that what Jesus named might really be. Matthew's already foreshadowed this in the chapter before. I'd missed this so many times, and it really struck me this week as we were holding this text. But in the chapter before, when Jesus breathes his last breath and the earth shakes, we find the tombs opened up and those that have already passed rise. It's again just another way where Matthew wants us to get ready for this unnatural thing, this mysterious thing that is going to happen among us. So when the women arrive at the tomb, an angel descends from heaven, and the angel pushes the stone away from the tomb. And again, just like before, the earth shakes. There are guards there, and they fall to the ground like they're dead. And so it's this fabulous, ironic moment in the midst of a tomb where the people who are supposedly alive are falling down dead, and the people who are supposed to be dead are rising. Maybe it's that irony that is the mystery of this story. The angel, a lightning bolt, as it said, says to the women, "Do not be afraid." And I've always read this as this like impossible command. Like think of those moments when you're in fear and someone says, "Do not be afraid." That's not helping. That's not it. Like I cannot just will the adrenaline to like stop. I can't will my heart to slow down. But on this reading, in these past few weeks, I've wondered if this really is a comforting assurance in the midst of that fear. Not taking it away, but helping us to courageously live into it
One biblical scholar says it this way: this calming voice comes from an authority who speaks with power that is beyond this world. A messenger who, the story tells us, rolled a huge stone back and then sat on it, and then shone like electricity, engendered such a sight that the guards swooned, and then had the audacity to tell the women that there is nothing to fear. With no need for fear, the women are then instructed by the angel to move into their lives with abandon, because God's power has overturned all expectation in our world. We have nothing from which to coil in self-protection. No need for fear or shame. The system loses as Christ rises. Don't be afraid. It's the same comforting assurance that the mother Mary heard from the angel herself. Do not be afraid. As she realized that hope was taking shape in her womb. It's the same phrase that was spoken to this ragtag group of shepherds who were out in the middle of nowhere, and an angel comes to them and says, do not be afraid. Hope is being born right out here in the middle of nowhere. Do not be afraid. Like the Mother Mary and the shepherds, these two women feel within their body both fear and joy. And it sounds odd at first. Fear and joy. To me, it's come to sound like courage. They feel within their body a sense of fear that also has space for possibility, for joy, courage. The poet David White writes about courage. Courage is the measure of our heartfelt participation with life, with another, with a community, a work, a future. To be courageous is not necessarily to go anywhere or do anything, except to make conscious those things we already feel deeply, and to live through the unending vulnerabilities of those consequences. To be courageous is to stay close, he says, to the way we're made. The women at the tomb find courage in the news of Jesus rising, and they stay close to the way they've been made as that sinks into their consciousness. They feel fear and joy deeply in their bones. They're reminded again of who they are and whose they are. And then these silent women are given a message from the angel to carry this news to the brothers who have gone before, that Jesus has risen. So then these silent women become courageous women who go to the followers of Jesus to let them know that Jesus has gone ahead of us. The risen one goes ahead of you. John Purdy says it this way: what Mary discovered on Easter morning is that God goes ahead of us. God is not in the historic past, locked into an ancient time when people believed in miracles and spirits and demons in ways that we no longer do, nor is God shut up in our personal past, along with our sins, our youth, the wasted opportunities that we all bring to this space, our dead parents and friends, our childhood certainties, our idealism, our first love. No, God is ahead of us into our future as the one who will yet forgive sins, frees us from anything that binds, feeds the hungry, and makes peace by washing feet, raising the dead, welcoming strangers and immigrants. It's fear and joy. This is what is placed in the heart of those Marys in that moment. It's because they have been grasped. They've been grasped by this truth that God goes ahead of us. And then God waits for her and for us to get moving. And then these women witness what we're called to do. They get on the move, and as soon as they start moving, the risen one meets them, not in the tomb, but outside of it. Again, God goes ahead of us. The risen one meets them and says, greetings. Really? Greetings. Like Jesus could say anything at this moment. Anything. This is a big moment, people. And all we go is, greetings. And in the English, it sounds like so phenomenally beyond trite. Greetings. But the Greek word is a powerful one. It's called kairate. That's the word that Jesus, the risen one, speaks to these women. And it means literally rejoice. We sang about this. Rejoice in the gift of this day. That's the word Jesus speaks. The risen one speaks to these women. Kairate, rejoice. Its root is grace. So the word that the risen one has for them and for the whole world is grace. Kairate. And once again, the gospel turns every convention and expectation upside down because it's Mary and the other Mary, not the men, who are the very first to tell the resurrection story on this side of Easter. Again, the gospel defies convention and our expectation. I did find a little bit of hope this morning as I was reflecting on the men who didn't find their way there, or my own story when I stumble and fail to rise with God. I found some hope in Josh Garrels that we opened worship with this morning. This gives me hope for the men back then and for me this day. He sings, "I may fall, but I will rise. Not by my might or my power or by the strength of swords, only through your love, my Lord. All we've lost will be restored. Take courage, friends. If we run where the Spirit calls us on, the greatest things have yet to come. With the dawn, we too will rise." The disciples who failed to rise that morning, me when I stumble most every morning, all of us with the dawn will rise. The art behind us is a reminder for me of that image of resurrection and rising. One of our artists in residence, Emily, created this piece, and it's called Collective Whole. You see each individual piece together as a witness to what resurrection might look like in our lives. But she's not finished with that work. She added to it a little bit this week. These are individual pieces, another part of that ongoing story of resurrection. This little piece of wood, though, was actually cut down in the back. We have some shrubs here. They were planted 50 years ago, give or take. And it turns out shrubs then grow into trees when you don't cut them down after that much time. And we've started to cut them down. They've lived this long, phenomenal life that the people who planted them never could have imagined the beauty they brought to folks. But they've also had their time. And so we've cut down a few of those branches, and then each of these individual pieces then is literally something that was dead right here in our facility. And then it's been brought to new life. It's like a reminder, a witness to what the resurrection story could look like, because what'll happen with that shrub that's a tree that we tore down is in its place is going to go a new electrical panel and then HVAC. The angel came and showed up like lightning, so we took it literally. But what it's going to mean is that when recovery groups meet upstairs, when folks walk in here on an edge, on the brink, on literally the brink of death, they're going to walk upstairs in July and August in this space, and for the first time ever, it's not going to be 106. And when our children, those 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds, gather in the preschool that's run by Art Beast, they're going to come in the morning and go out in the afternoon with temperatures that are going to help them experience God's love and the life that is around us. This is a story of resurrection that just keeps rising. It just keeps rising within us and around us. Each individual piece is itself an artistic rendering of resurrection. From death on Friday comes new life on Sunday. Hope rises with God's love. And Josh Garrels sang that, but there's another person who sings it, a young woman. Generations after Mary and the other Mary were the first called to go and tell this story, a young woman named Katie shared a story about this. And she talks about it like this: "This is a song that's been brewing inside of me for years. It's finally come to the surface. I was inspired to finish it now. It's about a year and a half ago. Because now more than ever, there is a need in our world to unite. I know that together we can rise above the fear in our country, around the world. And she sings, when the fire's at my feet again and the vultures all still or all start circling, there's whispering, you're out of time, but still I rise. That too is the story of Easter. It's the story of resurrection. And women were the first called to share it. And if we're looking for Christ, he's risen and goes ahead of us. That's our Easter story. Every Holy Friday gives way to an Easter morning. Death transformed to new life. So this day, this Easter, may we take courage in God's love and may we move. For the risen one goes ahead of us, calling us to hope and healing and new life. May we rise this day in and through and with Christ and find courage in God's story. For this, friends, this is our story. Amen.
Oh, you have so little faith.
Don't doubt it, don't doubt it.
Victory is in your veins.
You know it, you know it.
And you will not negotiate.
Just fight it, and be transformed. When the fire's at my feet again, and the vultures all start circling, they're whispering, you're out of time, but he'll arise. This is no mistake, no accident. When you think the final nail is in, think again. Don't be surprised, I will still rise.
Don't doubt it, don't doubt it.
Oh,
you know it, you know it.
Matt shared with you that our art is still alive, and so we have a gift for folks. And what we would love is, as the offering is passed, for you to give generously, we would also like for you to take a part of the collective whole. Take it home with you, give it to someone, put it in a place where you can remember that we are all part of God's family, that we are all rising, and that together, together, love wins.